Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
If you would, stand to your feet as we reverence the reading of His Word. Hallelujah. I was expecting a few more videos. I'm just kidding. If you would, open your Bibles up. Let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. Galatians, chapter number 5. And you'll find that right after Galatians, chapter 4. So when you get over there, just say amen. But seriously, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. When you get there, turn with me to the 5th chapter. We've been in a series for the past month or so. Dealing with the Holy Spirit, and I told you entering into this series that we'd be in several volumes because I wanted to deal with the person and purpose of the Spirit, which, by the way, I think is going to air on our television broadcast this Sunday. It'd be the first time we've aired a Wednesday night on Sunday broadcast, so we're going to let our television audience see what goes on here on Wednesday night. Because not only because the word, we want that word out, but a lot of people have an idea about what Wednesday church is. They don't know that our Wednesday church is the same as our Sunday church. It's just on Wednesday. Amen. We don't cut it down. We don't cut it out. We don't dilute it. We don't water it down. It's all the same. And so I'm excited about that. And then we wanted to get into, as I shared with you, not only the person and purpose of the Spirit, but to deal with the anointing of the Spirit, which we've dealt with for the past several weeks, and then now beginning today, I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, if you're there, say amen. We'll look at it in verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, which is a drunken party, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In light of what we read, let's pray. Father, in the name of Yeshua, your Son, our Savior, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit come to lead and guide us into all truth. And we acknowledge him as our teacher and our leadership into truth. Father, I pray for all that would be under the sound of my voice, those watching live, those here in the assembly, watching or listening by media. Father, I ask that you would bless their hearing, that your people would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and all spiritual understanding. Father, I ask now that you speak through me the words that you would have spoken, that your Spirit would speak by me, and that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might sketch on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever, as we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. As we pick up volume 3, part 1 of our Holy Spirit series, in this third volume, and if you've not been watching live or here in the assembly or watching our broadcast, I encourage you to go online or visit our bookstore and obtain volume 1 and volume 2 of this series. In volume 1, we dealt with the person and purpose of the Holy Spirit. In volume 2, we've dealt with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And now in volume 3, we're going to deal with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which, you know, I shouldn't have favorites, but man, so many don't get this. And this could be one of the most important things you'll ever hear when it comes to the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I think it's one that's been overlooked and I want to deal with. First of all, before the prayer we read here in Galatians chapter 5, where beginning in verse 16, really earlier, I think you can actually back up about verse 13. But in the latter half of this chapter, there's a contrast being made between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. And the contradiction and the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit. And so in verse 16, he says, if you'll walk in the Spirit, then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's where we that are saved get that saying, or have come up with that saying, I like to get into flesh. Okay. Or she nearly got me in the flesh, or he just about got me in the flesh, or that situation almost got me in. Anybody ever said that, I almost got in the flesh? And if you never said it, let me ask you a question. Have any of you ever almost got into flesh? Okay, now let's really be real. How many of you actually went ahead and you got on up in the flesh? Ain't no sense in lying in the Lord's house, amen? But y'all had a lot of hands went up right there, so I know we got a lot of work to do. But it is a reality because we recognize from the days that we were watching Saturday morning cartoons and the old Bugs Bunny before it got polluted and carnal and twisted with that new Looney Tunes stuff that done went out there. You know, I can't watch the new Bugs. He ain't right. He's done lost his salvation. I don't know what happened. Now, I ain't saying you can lose your salvation. I'm just saying something happened to Bugs Bunny. Whoever's writing that script is messed up. Because the Bugs Bunny my daddy watched, he ain't the same one. This one knew it got an attitude and something wrong with Bugs. But you may remember the old Bugs Bunny where there was that, you know, cartoon where, you know, the duck about to get shot and the angel came on the one shoulder and said, don't kill that innocent duck. And then the demon came on the other shoulder and said, kill him dead. And there was that warfare between the good little angel and the demon that was speaking, and which one am I going to listen to? We remember seeing that in a cartoon situation, but the reality of it is we face that dilemma all the time. Am I going to walk in the Spirit in this situation, or am I going to give way to the flesh? And it's not that we needed any help from some little, you know, red-dressed demon on our shoulder. Our flesh had all the ammunition it needed by itself to do some ugly things, and that's what Galatians chapter 5 is listing here, is that already embedded in our flesh, the works of the flesh already exist. These evils such as adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings. And then he says, and such like. Because he actually doesn't list them all here. If you back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes about the same thing to the church of Corinth, and he lists some of these same works of the flesh, except he adds one that's not listed here, and it's being effeminate. And what that means is for a man to act too much like a woman, to be effeminate. For a man to act like a woman, it was a work of the flesh. And there's a temptation that exists in some to act like something other than what God made them to be. And that is a work of the flesh. And so all of this is dealt with here in Galatians 5. And then the walk is contrasted with walking in the Spirit. And then the fruit, what will come if you're walking in the Spirit, is listed. That there is fruit that will manifest in your life if, big two-letter word, if you are walking in the Spirit. And we know that you can be saved and you can have the Spirit of God resident in you and not allow the Holy Spirit to be president in you, because there is a difference between residing and presiding. Just because you live at the White House doesn't make you president. Now, the president's a president, but just because you live there doesn't make you president. You may be a resident at the White House, but you may not necessarily be the president of the White House. There's a difference between saying, I was president at the White House versus, I was a resident there. So what? What'd you do? You know, did you preside? No, I reside. There are many believers where the Spirit of God resides, but he doesn't preside. And the being born again, and I have to be so careful and cautious when talking about the Holy Spirit and dealing with this topic, because there are some that would have you to believe that unless you're operating in certain manifestations of the Spirit, then you are not even saved. And I believe that to be unbiblical. And there are a lot of people that have walked out of a church house on a Sunday night or some other time and said, well, there's no use. I couldn't grasp that spiritual thing. I'm marked. God's not saved me. I don't have the Spirit. I'll never go back again. Why has God rejected me? And there are a lot of people that have been hurt because the topic of the Holy Spirit based on the Word has been absent, and it's led many people to be ignorant, just meaning not knowing. But if you look in Galatians 5, he contrasts walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh, and he tells you what the difference will be. Now, if you go to verse number 25, he says, and then y'all read it with me, verse 25, ready? Read. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you've been given the life of the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. Now, notice that is an exhortation. That is a word. That if you live, if you've been given life by the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. Don't just have life in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And so Jesus teaches in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, John chapter 7 and verse 37, that there is no new birth. There is no being born again without the role of the Holy Spirit, that we're born of our flesh in our natural birth, and we're born of God's Spirit in our new birth. There is no spiritual life. There is no Christian life. One is not born again without the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 clarifies that. Now, but Galatians 5 is saying that if you're walking in the Spirit, there will be fruit of the Spirit in your life. And if you have been given life by the Spirit, if you have been born again by the Spirit, then you should walk in the Spirit. And if you are walking in the Spirit, there is going to be fruit of the Spirit. And he lists 9 different fruit that every believer should see manifest in their life. Now, Lord willing, because I'm not supposed to say I'm going to do anything tomorrow. The Bible says, say, Lord willing, you're going to do it. So, Lord willing, in the next few weeks, I want us to cover these nine fruit. And Lord willing, we may pair them up in threes and deal with the first 3 fruit, the second 3, and the last 3. And I'm going to show you why I divide them in threes, because there's a reason. I believe they're literally put together in 3 pairs of 3. But what is significant is that the fruit of the Spirit are 9 total. 9 is a biblical number that represents judgment. 9 is a biblical number that represents judgment. Numbers have meaning in Scripture. And 9 is symbolic of judgment. And so when we hear judgment, we likely think, oh, you know, I'm going before the throne or before God to receive my judgment. And we might think of that in a negative way. Ooh, I don't want to be judged. But the word itself, bema, literally means to be recognized. The judgment seat of Christ, that word judgment in Greek is bema, and it means recognition. It is the judgment seat of Christ is the recognition seat of Christ. And when you study 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the judgment, when we come before the Lord, if we are saved, there is a foundation that is laid that no man can lay, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. And no man lays that foundation. That's one that Jesus laid that you enter into by faith. And then the word says that if we do works of our flesh, then there'll be wood, hay, and stubble added to that foundation. And if we do works of the Spirit, then there will be precious stones added to that foundation. And then that foundation will be tried by fire to see what kind of work it was. And the Bible says at the end, what was done of the flesh will be burned up. And the only thing that will remain will be that which was of the Spirit. And the Bible says that foundation is whereby that we are saved. And the one reason I'm pointing all this out is because we have a negative mindset about judgment, that judgment means I've done something wrong and I'm going to be judged. But 1 Corinthians 3 goes on to say that if there are precious stones that remain, that will remain on that foundation, that man shall receive reward. Not salvation. The salvation came through the foundation. What was added to the foundation determined the reward, not salvation, the reward. And so if you have good reward, if you have precious stones that you have accumulated on that foundation, then that's nothing to be embarrassed about to receive. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches in the book of Revelation that when we come before the Lord, there will be many stones that we will give, many accolades, honors that we will give the Lord. I have a theory, I can't prove it, you can't disprove it, but I have a theory that the very reward on that foundation at the judgment will be the very thing we get to offer Jesus when we come before him. And it's going to be embarrassing if there was a bonfire when you were judged. You know, people start breaking out their s'mores and their hot dogs, you know, because you got so much stuff burning over there. And then you come before Jesus and you say, now where did I put that stone? I know I got a precious stone here somewhere. What'd I do with it? And you don't have nothing to give the Lord. That right there would bring shame or embarrassment. But the point I'm trying to get to, and I may be taking too long with this, is that judgment biblically in the New Testament is not just a recognition of bad, but it is a recognition of good. And so we have to change the way we view judgment, because when you look at the fruit of the Spirit being nine, and I'm going to show this to you scripturally. God has established that believers be recognized by their fruit. In other words, you are supposed to be recognized to the world that you are saved, that you walk in the Spirit, that you love God, that you've been born again, that you know Jesus, and the recognition of your life should not be your super spirituality or how much Bible that you know. You're what you should be recognized by as being born again and saved and walking with God, the recognition of judgment that we walk in every day should be the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, you yourself, every time you step out of your house and up in your house, you're being judged, you're being critiqued, there are those that will be critical of you, judging you. And that judgment that we bear, God is saying, I want you recognized by the nine, a number of judgment, the nine fruit of the Spirit. Let the nine judgment fruit of the Spirit be how you are recognized. You know, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you help me. Love one another. Jesus saying, you'll be known by others. They'll recognize. They'll be able to judge that you were saved because you walk in love. And you got a lot of born again folk. Well, they say they're born again. Let me say it another way. You got a lot of church-going folk that this world would never be able to recognize Christ in them, because the fruit of the Spirit is absent. And there is no sense in you and I trying to come to church and be super spiritual as the evidence that we're saved, but walk out the church doors and not bear the fruit of the Spirit, when it is by the fruit of the Spirit that we're supposed to be recognized as born-again believers. It is the oldest principle in the Bible that every tree is known by its fruit, and that every seed will reproduce more fruit of its own kind. That's the first law of God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. So you can't tell me you've been born again of the Spirit when I don't see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Amen. Did y'all hear what I just said? If you believe that you've been born again of the Spirit, then we should see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Now, let me show you just how biblical that is, all right? So let's turn back, and you might want to put your bookmark here in Galatians 5. But let's turn back to the book of Matthew. And I want us to go to the 7th chapter, Matthew chapter 7. I done said a whole lot, now I got to prove it. All right, so let's go to Matthew 7, and then we're going to see something here. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Now let's go to verse number 17. And not only do I want you to know that the Holy Spirit yields fruit, I want to show you what seed must be planted for you to yield fruit. Amen. Because it's not automatic. Some of you may be saved right now. It's like, well, Pastor, I know I thought I was saved. I don't know if I'm seeing the fruit. Okay, you may not be seeing fruit because you're not planting any seed. There is no fruit without seed. And just like there is fruit of the Spirit, there has to be seed of the Spirit. Okay? So we'll deal with fruit, and we'll kind of back up into that seed here in the service. Matthew chapter number 7, you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse 16. You shall know them by their bumper stickers. Yeah. Nothing wrong with bumper stickers. I want everybody to get a bumper sticker. Let all of Shreveport know where you go to church. And listen here. Don't be. You ain't got to be no Nicodemus and come to Jesus by night. Come to Word of God by day. Put the bumper sticker. Wear the shirt. What you say? Folk ask you if you go to Word of God. Don't be all. They say yes. Nothing to be ashamed of. Hallelujah. He says, clear the bumper sticker thing. Verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Jesus said, you'll be known by your fruit. He says, do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Why? Because it can't bring forth good fruit, because an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Okay? Verse 20. Wherefore, help me, by their fruits you shall know them. Did you know the first commandment given to man in Genesis 1:22 was to be fruitful and multiply? The first commandment given to man was be fruitful. God wants every one of us to be fruitful, because it is in our being fruitful that the Word teaches that God is glorified. But notice here in Matthew 7, verse 20, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. We are to be known by our fruit. Come over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Known by my fruit. Known by my fruit. Say that out loud. Known by my fruit. Are you known? What are you known for? What do people say about you? If you were charged with being guilty as a Christian, would you have enough evidence to prove they were right? The fruit. What do people say about you? Not necessarily church folk. People say about you in public. People that you work with. Whose restaurant you sit down in. What do they say about you? We're known by our fruit. And we're going to deal with something real deep here in the next couple of weeks and why that's so important. Man, I want to talk about it right now. I'm going to say it now. Proverbs 11:30. And I'll come back later and pull more out of it, Lord willing. But Proverbs 11:30 says that the fruit of the righteous, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I want to make sure you got that. Repeat this after me. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That verse is saying that it is the fruit of the righteous that wins souls. You can't lead people to Jesus if you're not walking in the fruit of the Spirit, because your life is not appealing. Don't nobody want to eat what you're serving if you're not serving the fruit of the Spirit. They don't want to eat your hate. They don't want to eat your anger. They don't want to eat your lust, your lasciviousness. They don't want to eat, you know, all these bitter things that come out of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is a tree of life. When people receive our love and our joy and our peace, there is a seed within that fruit that literally transplant the gospel in their heart and leads them to salvation. Hallelujah. Because every fruit has in it a seed that brings forth more of its own kind. That's the first law of God in Genesis 1:11. So if you want to make somebody loving, you love them. And if they receive your love, they've just received the seed of what it is that's in your life. That's why Jesus said, you love your enemy. You don't persecute them, because you can't sow the seed of hating somebody and reap love. My goodness, hallelujah. Now, watch this in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 33. You get there, say amen. He says here, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. What he's saying here is stop trying to separate fruit from tree. If the fruit is an apple, then it is an apple tree. But quit trying to say that you don't know how you got this lemon off that apple tree. He said, you know, either the tree, if you're going to make that fruit good, you got to make that tree good and vice versa, but you're not getting one without the other. And when you think about that for you and I, we've got to stop this idea that we are can walk in any way and it doesn't matter. And it doesn't count that you know, well, I know in my heart I'm saved, and you're hateful to everybody. Well, I know in my heart I'm saved, but can't nobody tell it. Well, wait a minute. What's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of your actions? How do you treat people? How do you behave yourself? What kind of representative of Jesus are you to everybody? Well, I don't know. Well, look, we either got to make the fruit good and the tree good, or we're going to make the fruit bad and the tree bad with it. But you got to start making yourself accountable to what kind of fruit's coming out of your life. You stop thinking, well, that came out of me, but the Lord knows that wasn't in my heart. Then where did it come from? That's why Word of God Ministries is not the place for a lazy, don't want to do the book Christian. Want you to come. Don't get me wrong. He don't want me to. No, come. Please come. But you ain't going to come and stay the same, because there is something that happens when you get underneath the Word of God. It's going to make you, by the power of the Spirit and the power of the Word, it will transform your life. And if you don't want to be changed, you better not get under this Word. Amen. Because this Word will change you. Amen. I want to prove that to you. Go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I want to show you something here. Because ultimately, whether it's spiritual or natural, you can't be fruitful if you're not planting seed. Bottom, natural, spiritual, financial, that is the oldest spiritual and natural law principle in the Bible. From Genesis 1:11, it's true all the way forward. Genesis 1:11, Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual, natural law. You know, we've likely said in an offering, or maybe even read, you know, on the offering slip, give, and it shall be given unto you. Yes, good measure pressed down and shaken together. And so we thought to ourselves, you know, I'm going to give so it'll be given unto me. And that's true. It's a biblical principle. But if we'd have read up and read down, we'd have seen Jesus was saying, not money. He wasn't even talking about money in Luke 6, verse 38, if you read up and read down. He was talking about whether or not you're sowing judgment, condemnation, mercy. He was saying whatever you give people, that's what people's going to give back to you, except it's going to come back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. All right, think about it like this. Think about it like this. Just stay with me. Y'all get anything out of this? I'm not going too fast, am I? Well, I'm in. I don't want to go too fast. But I want you to think about it. Just go with me there for a minute. I want to make, if you don't understand what this word says, then we don't need to be here. But I'm wasting my time and your time and everybody's time and a whole lot of money to get this word out if we don't actually understand this book. Amen, sir. Okay? Because I'm not here for any other reason. Amen. And I don't believe you are either. Amen. Tired all. I done had all them programs. More programs than DirecTV. I need some word. Amen. Religion's not the solution and all that other stuff. And I don't need all that. I need some word. So I want to make sure you get this. So I want you to imagine right now, put yourself in this setting, that you have gone to school and it's the first day of class. And you just walk in the classroom. And as you walk in, there are 23 other students in that classroom. So there's 24 students in the class, and you're one of those 24. All right? Let's say you're at Word of God Academy, because in our high school, middle high school, we don't allow any more than 24 students in a class. In our elementary school, no more than 20. 20 to 1 is the ratio. All right, so a little prop right there for the academy, let you know why it's good to be there. Would you want your kid in where one teacher's teaching 24 or one teacher's teaching 44? It's a no-brainer what kind of attention your child's going to get when you got smaller class size. So here you are, and you're in this class, and there's 23 other students. Now, stay with me. You, one person, no matter which one of those 24 you are, you have to learn, if you're going to know everybody, you've got to learn 23 names. You with me? If you're going to get to know everybody in the class, you've got to learn 23 names. Now, when it comes to the individual, just you. Stay with me. You got to learn 23 names. You got a chance to offer behavior, attitude, goodness, or evil to 23 souls. You got 23 people you got to learn the name, 23 people that you're talking to, 23 people that you're even being kind to. I know you ain't going to borrow my pencil. You should have brought your own. Are you with me? How you treat those 23 people, you're just one person. But how you treat those 23 people, whatever you give, is going to be given back to you. But watch this. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Why such abundance? Because you will reap from every person in your life that you're sowing into. That's going to all come back on you. Is that making sense to you? You think, well, you know, so your behavior and how you treat people, how you conduct yourself with others, that seed that you sow in the lives of that classroom can come back 23-fold. So there's your press down, shaking together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom? So if you want to reap love and mercy and goodness, then you have to walk into society and say, my goodness, I could affect 100 people today. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying up in here. Don't make me stomp my foot again. I done bruised my foot and limping around for 2 weeks and made me stomp again.
can't be stomping. I done made a commitment. I got to stop stomping. You got to give me some Dr. Scholl's, but something got to happen here. I hurt my foot bad the other day, man, preaching. Trying to get y'all redeemed at 11:30 service, messing around and stomp. Oh, Jesus. My bruise was healed, but his head was crushed. Come on, somebody. I know that's Jesus. I know that's Jesus. I'm just saying. Don't write me no letter. Save the ink. But think about what I'm saying. That your life and how you, what you sow into others is going to come back on you. It's not like you're living on a desert island with one other person where if you give one person a bad attitude, only one going to come back. You have the potential to have a lot of people upset at you. You have the potential to lead a lot of people to Jesus. You see what I'm saying to you? The seed that we sow is vital, but it's not like you can go out, and this is going to come together in just a few minutes. It's not like that you can just go out and give people the seed of the word that will lead to them being born again, because everybody's not going to receive the word. If you offered me some kind of seed, and I love plums, and you offered me the seed of a plum, I'm like, you know, I may go plant it. If I think about it and really bored, you know, and still have it in my hand when I'm out in the yard, I may plant it, but I may not. But if you give me a plum, I'm going to eat it. Now, take that spiritually into the way you treat people. You say, well, I try to give them the word. I try to give them the word. Yeah, but you're so hateful in the way you share the word. They won't receive that seed. But if you would recognize that the fruit of the Spirit has inside of it the seed of the Spirit, and when people receive your fruit, they receive the seed that brings new life, that brings salvation. That's why it's so vital that we walk in the fruit of the Spirit. So let me show this to you in 1 Peter chapter 1. You're there, say amen. Verse number 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. I hear pages turning, so tell me when you get there. Amen. Watch this. Being born again, and the new birth, John 3, John 7, the new birth is a spiritual birth. It's done by the Spirit of God. It's not done through some class that you attended for 7 weeks and now you're born again. No, 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 no. It's a birth. It is a new life. Salvation is considered or compared to birth, spiritual birth, okay? Being born of the Spirit of God. He says, being born again, not, because the first time you were born of the flesh. So all that stuff that comes out of your flesh, you've had since birth. And there's some stuff that was already in there that just needed to be cultivated. The right atmosphere, the right treatment, the right stuff, and it just comes out. If you've ever, men, you may recognize it. If you've ever bought dirt to take and like fill in ruts in your yard or to fill a hole, or you bought some dirt and you put the dirt out there, in a few days, stuff just starts growing out of the dirt. But it's not centipede, San Augustine, Bermuda grass. It's weed. Now, not weed like weed, but it's weeds. You're like, man, I bought dirt, and now it's just stuff's growing out of this dirt. And you're like, man, where'd that come from? It was seed already in that dirt. All it needed was sunlight. All it needed was water. All it needed was to get cultivated, and what was already there came, and you ain't plant nothing, and stuff's growing. It's the same way with your flesh. There is sin in you. There's lying in you. There is hatred in you. There is adultery in you. All those things are in you. And in the right environment, those things start coming to life. And it ain't like you needed no help. You say, well, the devil. No, the devil didn't do that. The devil didn't have to do that. You did. This was in you. So when we were born of the Spirit, Galatians 5 teaches that now we have a chance to live in the Spirit, and there's a different type of manifestation that's supposed to come out of us. Like hatred came out of our flesh, love should come out of our spirit. And the evidence that you've been born again, the fruit that you've been born again, is a better way of saying that, the fruit of your being born again, the produce, the what you are recognized by, is that fruit that your flesh could have never yielded. But just like you take that dirt and you put it out in the yard and you're like, okay, I don't want that growing there. And so you either put some grass seed out, some Bermuda, St. Augustine, centipede, based on your preference, and you put some seed out there and you water it and you cultivate it, and then now that thing starts growing. It's all pretty in your yard, and you're inviting folk over, and you're out there mowing. Men love to mow the grass because they get immediate gratification, because you mow one strip and you look back, it looks good, you know, because everything else we do, it takes years to see the produce. That's why folk love, that's why men love mowing grass. It's because it's the only thing we can do that we see immediate gratification. We mow the yard, walk back and look and say, yeah, that looks good. You know, with a child, it takes 15 years to see if it's going to work. I mean, you don't know. Marriage can be up and down. You think you did it good, knocked out of the park. Now she got an attitude like, man, I thought I was doing good. It's just like, you know, but mowing the grass, like, yes. You know, we get out there and edge it and blow it off. Man, we got it right. And so then that weed pops back up that was already there, and we go out there and we pluck that thing up, and we get us some kind of weed and the weed and feed fertilizer. We put that weed and feed out. What are we trying to do? We're trying to feed the grass and kill the weeds. It takes cultivating. It takes management. It takes being a husbandman. The first assignment given to man to make sure that I'm cultivating a life that is weedless, that I'm cultivating a life that is fleshless. My God, I am cultivating a life that is filled with the fruit of the Spirit that will bring God glory. That don't come easy. That's a process. You think God don't want you fruitful? The first place he put man was in a garden. Sure, you're right. What's he saying? I want you fruitful. That's the will of God, the first commandment. Be fruitful. Amen. So watch this in 1 Peter 1. He says in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. See, I said we seed. That's that stuff that's growing up in the yard and you don't know where it came from. Now, I'm not talking about the illegal stuff. Y'all stay with me. All right. So he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed. There was no corruptible seed that could have saved you. That's why I get so aggravated by what television preachers are doing to television preachers. Because I'm a preacher on television, and so many preachers on television make folk turn the channel when they see a preacher on television, because so many times it's always attached to an offering at the end. It's like every sermon just leads up to, if you send $38, if you send $77, everything always comes back to a dollar amount that you got to give so that you can get your breakthrough, your miracle, your child out of jail, whatever else. It's always attached to a dollar, and my wife will tell you that is my pet peeve. It drives me absolutely crazy. I can't take it. I don't want to hear no preacher talking about no money that you need to be your breakthrough. Do I believe in sowing and reaping? Yes. But I don't believe God gives us a television audience so we can see how much money we can bring in. That is not the purpose of the gospel. And if you teach somebody that they can give you money and get all these breakthroughs in their life, you are teaching that a corruptible seed can bring forth a harvest of salvation when it can. It is only the seed of the Word of God that can bring someone to salvation. It is only the seed of the Word of God, watch this, that can even bring you to financial prosperity. Amen. You say, what? You mean I ain't got to give? You have to give, but based on the Word, not some kind of financial tactic to get your money like it's some infomercial. In other words, my giving should be motivated by this Word that was sown in me. Not because I've been coerced into giving something because I think if I give this money, then I'm going to get something in return. No, I should be stimulated to do so by the Word of God. That's the difference. Hallelujah. So he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By what? Read it. The Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now watch what he goes on to say, and you'll see why I use my mowing grass illustration. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So what he's saying here is that it is only by the seed of the word that you can have eternal life. It is only by the seed of the word that you can have incorruptible, spiritual, holy, godly fruit. There's no way to have that fruit without this seed. Because every fruit demands a seed of its own kind. And the word of God is the seed that yielded the new birth in my life. And it is the word of God that will yield the seed, that will yield rather the fruit of the spirit in my life. That's why when you get under the word, stuff starts changing. You know good and well I'm right. I ain't right, but the word's right. You know what I'm saying is right, because what I'm saying is coming out of here. I ain't right of myself, but here's my point. When you get up under the word, you find yourself all of a sudden loving folk. You find yourself all of a sudden being kind. You find yourself all of a sudden having joy. And you if you don't know no better, you might say, I don't know what's going on. But since I went down there and got that word, I just feel different. I look down, I'm treating people, and you may not even know what's happening. I know what's happening. There's a seed being sown in you, and now the harvest is beginning to come to fruition. It wasn't that you were evil. You thought, well, I've never lived. I guess I've been evil. It wasn't that you were evil. It wasn't, may have not even been that you weren't saved. It was that you never got seed planted that would bring this kind of fruit into your life. Hallelujah. Man, that's good news right there. Fruit. Can't come without the right seed. Seed. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Let's go over. I think a little more I want to look at here. Let's go over to the Gospel of Luke. I alluded to this a minute ago. And let's go to the 6th chapter. Luke chapter 6. Hallelujah. Fruitful. Be fruitful. That's what glorifies God. Don't might care about super spirituality. Be fruitful. And you know what I love about the word fruit? Is what it means. Produce. Remember them days going in the grocery store? I had a big sign on the back wall. Produce. Remember it was in that corner over there, produce on that side. Remember it was in the other corner? Milk. You know what was in the other corner as far as you can get from milk? Bread. And both were in the back of the store because they knew that's what you came in there for. It was milk and bread. They're going to make you walk all over that store to get it. So that you'll pick up a few other things. Have you ever got to the register and said, man, I only came in here for milk, and all of a sudden the whole buggy full. And all the candy and stuff that your kids could ever want, sitting right there in line. 50 customers in 2 checkout lines on purpose. I don't know why I told you all that, but it's true. Produce. When you're yielding the fruit of the Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit is producing in you. You're a productive Christian. You're full of produce. Productive people are fruitful people. When you're productive, you're fruitful. It's synonymous. Hallelujah. Man, I love going to church. I mean, I know we are the church, but I love when we all get together. This is great. Now, Luke 6, you there, say amen. In the same sermon where he said, give and it shall be given unto you. That's back in verse 30. That's not verse 30, but 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. In the same sermon where he said, men will give back to you.
He says this in verse 44. Well, I'll back up to verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth the corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. Now, you might say, ooh, I did something of the flesh. I'm not saved. Hear me carefully. Some folk get too out there with this. Just because you've been born again of the Spirit doesn't mean you don't still contend with your flesh. I'm not condoning the flesh. I'm just saying you got to stop thinking you're lost every time you get in the flesh. That's why we have so much exhortation in the Word to walk in the Spirit, to overcome the work of the flesh, to overcome the will of the flesh, the mind of the flesh. It is an ongoing battle that you're going to go through every day. Prayerfully, you're going to get to a point where you're going to win and walk in victory. But there's going to be times when you're going to go through that, and that's going to be a process. That's where you repent and turn back to God and ask the Lord to uproot that. And you'll never find victory over your flesh if you keep sowing seed into your flesh. Just like you've got to sow to your spirit to reap the fruit of the Spirit, you can sow to your flesh to reap the harvest of the flesh. You can't set up under anything on TV. You can't set up under any kind of music. You can't just sit around just anybody. You sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And the fruit of your life is going to tell us what you've been investing in. You can't look at a harvest and say, I don't know how that got there. I don't know how that got there. I come in your yard, you got turnip greens all over your yard. Like, man, you planted a lot of turnip greens. I didn't plant that. I don't know where that got from. Well, last I checked, turnip greens don't just pop up out of the ground. But that's some of that stuff that's been growing in our life wasn't turnip greens, because I like turnip greens. Verse 44, but every tree is known by his own fruit. But every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So what do you treasure in your heart? Because what you treasure is what you hold on to. And if you hold on to a seed long enough, it's going to yield its harvest. That's what the word planted means. It got planted. It got planted. Well, that means it's there. It stayed there more than a day. And it stayed planted until it grew into a plant. I set you up perfectly. So what are you treasuring? If you treasure the things of the flesh, then that's what's going to get planted, and that's going to be your plant. But if you treasure things of the Spirit, then that's what's going to be planted, and then that will be your plant. We're husbandmen. It's all about managing our garden to bring forth fruit that will glorify God. And we'll talk about this more later. That's where wholeness comes. There will be a constant anxiety in your life until you're fruitful. You will never have peace without being fruitful, because God made you to be fruitful. And there will always be something missing. You won't be able to make enough money. You won't be able to build a big enough house. You won't have enough cars. None of that will satisfy you like being fruitful. I'm not saying that the house and the car and the children is not a part of the fruitfulness we're called to be in. But I'm telling you, if you're born again, God's called you to yield the fruit of the Spirit, and you'll never have peace without it. You'll never be satisfied without it, because that's what brings him glory, and that's what he's called you to do. It's what he's called you to be. Let me pray for you. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, if there be one person here, one person watching live, that's not seen the fruit of your Spirit in their life, Lord, that at this very moment questions their own salvation, God, I pray that if there be one person here that doesn't know you as Savior, one person watching live that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that this would be the day of their salvation.
Father, I pray for those that know you, those that have accepted you, those that have been born again by your Spirit, that, Lord, right now at this moment, we judge ourselves. Are we fruitful? Holy Spirit, we ask that you convince and convict every heart. Lord, show us tonight. Show us tonight where we're not fruitful. And if you're here and you're watching live and you've never accepted Christ as Savior, you don't feel that you've ever been born again, I want to pray with you to receive Christ. I'm going to invite all of you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge my flesh, my sin, and I ask forgiveness, and I ask that you cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead. And I confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Now, with every head bowed, I want you to think about what you just prayed. I want you to think about what you've just prayed. That gospel that Jesus died for you, that gospel that he was raised from the dead, it was his death, it was his resurrection that gave us the ability to walk in newness of life. Now you ask yourself this question. Am I ready to walk in this newness of life? Am I ready to bring Jesus glory, to bring God glory in my life? Because if so, then you need to make one more step after salvation, and that is a commitment to continue in his word. To get that right seed planted in your heart, that the right harvest can come out of your life. You can't change the hate. You can't change the fear. You can't change the bitterness until you change the seed that's coming in. And that's what his word does. And if tonight you need prayer, I've got altar ministers in position right now that are ready to pray with you, ready to agree with you in prayer. Whether you want to make your salvation public, you want to pray with someone for your salvation, maybe you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, maybe you need to be baptized symbolically following him in death and resurrection. Maybe your heart's just heavy tonight and you need somebody to pray with you. Altar ministers are in position ready. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we leave here. That we leave here, God, convicted. That we leave here convinced. That, Lord, we walk out of here tonight yielding fruit that will bring you glory. Yielding fruit that will lead others to you. Yielding fruit that would cause other people, Lord, to want to be in our presence. Want to hear our words. Fruit that would lead to salvation. Fruit that would advance your kingdom. And Lord, if we've been unfruitful, unproductive, we ask for forgiveness. In Jesus' name.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.